That's the way this day's going.
I haven't, I better turn this on before it begins, that's screaming. Is that better?
What? Well, it helps if I say something, I know. I have a unique position tonight. I don't often get to do this. I get to preach with my pastor sitting in front of me, taking notes and critiquing everything I say. And that's fine. That's okay. It's God that counts. And I had an unusual preparation. Normally, when I have a chance to preach, God gives me something to say. And I have my notes and everything written down as to what God has given me for that particular topic. Any of you that have preached know that, you know, you fill out maybe an outline. Some people use an outline. Some people write it down word for word. And God said, I want you to use this verse and this verse and this verse. And that's all he gave me. And I went, okay, what else? He says, I'll take care of it. So it's up to him. Pardon me. So if you'll open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 15. Dan, would you mind bringing me that bottle of water, please? Thank you, sir. I'm going to need that tonight. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Boy, that's an interesting statement. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. We'll continue on with that in a minute. Beholding the evil and the good. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity you've given to open your word. Lord, to study it and to make it a part of our lives. Lord, I pray that you would be with me tonight. As you know, I have no idea what you're going to say. But I know what your word says and what you've taught me. And I pray that you've prepared me. Lord, I don't need a message, you do. You have the message. I just need to get out of the way. So I pray that you would bless this night, that you would bless your word as we open it, and study what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere. Think about that for a second. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter who you talk to, God is there watching. We had a skit here some years ago. Some kids actually put it on. And it was a simple skit where a young man decided to accept Christ as his Savior, with Christ standing there. And he was ecstatic about it. And as his life went on, no matter where he went, Christ was right there at his shoulder. And when he tried to go someplace that he knew he didn't want to take Christ, he was there anyway. And he would go here and Christ was there, and he would go there and he was right there at his shoulder. Not saying anything, not accusing, but just following. Until it got to the point where the man decided, I'm going someplace and I don't want you there. Some of you might remember this. And he wound up nailing him to a wall to keep him there. Because he's just going someplace that he didn't want Christ to go with him. Well, we can't do that. We can't put Christ aside. If he's in your life, he's there to stay. There is nothing you can do about it. Someone once told me, you are so saved, it's pitiful. There's nothing you can do about it. And no matter where you go, and no matter what you do, he's there. He is watching you. He is listening. And you are going to have to answer for every place that you took him. Because you see, the second part of that verse says, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. He's going to see it all. And we tend to forget that as we go through our daily lives. We don't remember that he's right there. He hasn't left. From the time that you got saved, he has not left you and never will. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's going to be there every single time, all the time. And no matter where you go, he's there. No matter what you say, he's going to hear it. No matter what you do, he's going to watch. Good or bad. That's scary when you think about it. He's always there. We tend to forget that. We tend to put aside that. We purposely forget that he's always there. When we're doing stuff that we shouldn't do. When we're not doing things that we should be doing. When we're sitting there like a lump. I'm the lump. And not doing what you should be doing. He's watching. He's right there with you. He's telling you you should be doing this. I know, but I don't want to. And we forget. We put him out of our mind. And we go ahead and we do or don't do things that are not pleasing to him. Because we purposely forget. We put it out of our mind. A lot of guys learn how to compartmentalize in their heads when things are going difficult. Especially military learn how to do that. Your friend just got killed. You're falling apart inside, but you got to take that and set it aside and do what you need to do. Well, we compartmentalize God. We don't put him in every area of our lives. We set him, we're going to put you over here, and when I need you, I'm going to open that door. But I'm going to do what I want to do right now. And God says, you could try and lock the door. He says, but I go through doors. He says, you could try and put me in the lowest part of your mind. I'm still going to be there. I'm going to still be there listening and watching and with you the whole time. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Good or bad? Genesis chapter 28. While we turn over there. How many of us tend to put things aside and don't want to think about them? Sometimes bills. Not the Buffalo Bills. I put them aside all the time. That's fine. But your bills. Sometimes we've gotten to the place where we don't want to deal with the fact that we need to pay a bill and we don't have the money for it. So we'll just put it aside and it comes back to bite us. What did I say? Genesis 29? So I thought I said. Did I say 28? I meant 28. That's what I said. Oh, goodness. Now, who's he talking to here? He's talking to Jacob. Right? In verse 15, he says, behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. God is going to be there with you until what he's spoken to you. What has he promised us that he's going to do? Come on, this is interaction here. Be with us to what? The end of what? Till he calls us home. Then he's going to forget about us, right? Oh, no? Oh, he's going to be always there. You know, he said, I will never leave thee. He said, never. I'm not going to leave thee until you get to heaven. But I will never leave you. So we've got to look forward to him being here with us now and then. When we get there, he'll always be with us. Only then we'll be able to look him in the face and talk to him. And he could tell us the things that we need to know, that we've been dying to understand. We'll learn from him. He told Jacob, he says, I am going to be with you and will keep thee in all places whither you go. He is going to be with you no matter where you go. God said, I'm there. You have me. I'm not going to depart. I am not going to vary from what I've said. I do not lie. I am going to be there. When you need a helping hand, I will be there. When you need someone to whack you on the back of the head because you're being stubborn, I'm going to be there to be that person to whack you in the back of the head. Sometimes I need a 2x4 right here to get my attention. He says, I'll do that for you too. God knows how to get our attention. How many times has God had to get your attention? Because you weren't doing what you were supposed to do. Or doing those things which you know aren't pleasing to him. He's got to get your attention. I don't want to have God get my attention anymore. It hurts. It hurts not just physically, but spiritually. It hurts me inside to know that I'm doing something that he does not like. Why does it bother me so much? Because of what he did for me. Do you think he really liked going on that cross? Do you think it was something, hey, I get to go on a cross and be beaten and stabbed and nails put in my hand. I'm going to enjoy this. No. But he did it for me. He did that for me. So when I sit and finally realize that I am doing something that does not please him, then it affects me as it should affect you. If it doesn't affect you, you've got a problem. If it does not bother you when you realize that God is not happy with what you're doing, you've got a problem. Your problem is either A, you have burned that sensitivity between you and God so bad that you can't feel it anymore. Or was never there to begin with. You have to pay attention with your relationship with God. He said he'll never leave you. He will always be there. If it doesn't feel like he's there, and it doesn't bother you to make him upset, then you got to figure out why. Genesis chapter 9, next chapter over to verse 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. The Lord saw that Leah was hated. He didn't think about it. He didn't hear it from an angel. Right? He was there with her. He saw what was going on, and he blessed her. He was not elsewhere. He was not someplace else, but he was right there with her. He saw her and her need. He saw her and her heartfelt sorrow that she was not loved. And he blessed her with children. Did that make up for it? Maybe not all of it, but a lot of it. Second Chronicles. Pardon me. It's amazing. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. That Leah was there. And she wasn't. She was looking for blessings from her husband. She was looking for the love of her husband. I really don't think she knew what was going on. I have a funny feeling that Leah was not privy to the whole situation there. But because of her father, she was put into that situation. And she was not loved by her husband. But she was loved by God. And God blessed her because of her sorrow. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Let me get there, because I have some problems with some copy and paste that I've done. So we're going to change that. I mean, not going anywhere, but... because I want to make sure I'm right. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. God was watching what was going on with Asa and the Jews. And he says, I'm watching. I'm seeing what's happening. I'm not one of these gods that are small g, that have no eyes and can't see. I'm watching you. I'm watching everything that's going on. My eyes go to and fro. I see everything. You cannot hide from me. And I'm looking for those that are perfect towards me. Psalms 32, verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. He's watching as he's teaching us. He is paying attention to us. It's not that he's watching and seeing everything going on. Well, look what he's doing. Oh, that's silly. Look at what he... Oh, yeah, I like that. I like that. Yeah, that's right. That's good. I wish I had written that. Wait, I did write that. Wait, what's he doing? He's not just sitting there watching. He is paying attention. Guys, how many times have you listened to your wife? Right? You've heard her, but were you listening? I have a habit of watching things that take my attention completely. If I'm reading a book or if I'm watching a game on or something on TV, right, my attention's focused. And my wife will speak to me and it'll go in one ear and out the other. Now, I heard her, but I was not listening. How many guys have done that? Raise your hand. Don't lie. Uh-huh. Some of you are lying. Right? We've all done that. We've all forgot to pay attention. Right? I have tried to fix that. When my wife talks to me, I try to turn the volume down and pay attention to her. Because what she has to say is more important than what the stupid TV has to say. Right? Whatever is running on, whether it's a Yankees game or a Bills game or whatever, it doesn't matter. She's more important. So I try to, am I perfect at that? My wife will tell you no. But I try. God doesn't have to try. God pays attention to what's going on in our life. It isn't just something that he's glancing at. He is paying attention. He is, as it says, I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. I'm going to tell you what's going on. I'm going to tell you what you need to learn. I am always watching you. I'm always paying attention to you. You are foremost in my mind. Figure that one out. We are foremost in his mind. All of us, all the time. I don't understand that. I'm linear. I can concentrate on one thing at a time. That's all. If I need to concentrate on something else, that has to leave and that'll take its place. God's not like that. God could focus all of his attention on all of us at once. That's good. That's amazing. That's God. Deuteronomy 32:10 says, in the desert land he found him, in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. We are very precious to him, but we don't act like it. We are his child. When we have kids, sometimes we will lose our focus and we'll misplace where our kids are for a second. And we'll turn around. People look at me, what do you mean? Sure, wait, you'll see. You'll be talking, stop to talk to somebody else for a split second, turn around, and he's gone. They move that fast. I don't know how kids do it, but they know just the right second to turn away and walk someplace else. Doesn't have to be far. Could be 5 feet away behind a plant. But your head was turned, so you have no idea where he went. When I was shopping with my, when I was a kid, I used to do it when I go shopping with my mom. They used to have these big racks with the coats, right? And we'd play inside. And we'd wait there till mom turns around. In we go. Freak her out. Where'd you go? I'm going to kill you. And we've done the same thing. My son did it. My daughter did it. Your kids did it. You've done it, I bet. Right? We've all done it. God doesn't lose track of us. There's no place we can go. There's no coat rack or plant that we can hide behind where he is, doesn't know where we are. We are special to him. We are so special to him that he sent his son to a cross to die for us. He gave his son's life because he loved us. That we are that special. He didn't do it for the animals. As much as I like dogs and cats, he didn't do it for them. I am extremely partial to horses. He didn't do it for them. He did it for us. I'm sorry for the dog and cat lovers. I don't know if dogs and cats are going to be in heaven. Frankly, I don't care. I'm going to be there with my Savior. We are special to him, but we don't act like it. Because we are not foremost. He is not foremost in our mind all the time. We tend to put him aside and forget about him. This one. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 12. The land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. If God cares so much for land that he promised them, how much more does he care for us? There's a verse that says, in Luke says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And that one of them is forgotten before God? He cares about the sparrows. He cares about animals. How much more does he care about us? Did he send his son for the animals? No. He sent him for us. But we put him aside. We forget about him. We try to put him to where we can do something and forget that he's watching. Forget that we are breaking his heart. Verse 7 says, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I don't like that verse. Fear not. Some of you are getting it. Fear not, therefore. Ye are more value than many sparrows. I've mentioned this before. I said, you know, God doesn't have to really work hard to number my hairs. But think about this. God knows where every single one of them are. You laugh, but think about that for a second. He knows where every single one of them went. I have no idea, but God does. They're numbered. He cares about the number of the hairs on my head. And he cares about where they're at. Think about that for a second. Because most of mine are gone. They're scattered all over this world. But God knows where they're at. Some of you, he doesn't have to work hard. They're running one spot. I make them work hard at it. God's amazing. We are more value than many sparrows. In Psalms chapter 121. Pardon me. Psalms 121, verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. He is going to be watching where we go, what we do, what we say, how we say it, what our heart attitude is when we do it, when we say it. He's going to pay attention to us. When we say something snide and sarcastic and hurt somebody, and he's sitting there right next to us, shaking his head, saying, that's not what I taught you. We're going to have to talk. Now, he could say, we're going to have to talk, and we'll say, yes, sir, I'm sorry, I did wrong. Or he's going to have to hit us between the eyes with a 2x4 to get our attention because we're not paying attention. But he is going to be there the whole time. We are not going to leave him behind. No place we can go. We can't hide in our car. We can't hide in our basement. There is no place in heaven or hell where we can go that God is not there. Because he loves us that much. What are we doing with the knowledge that God is right there beside us? Do we put him aside? Forget about him, compartmentalize that knowledge that we don't want to deal with? Are we paying attention to him? Because he wants to talk to us and teach us as we're going along. If we're paying attention to him, he'll teach us not to stub our toe or step on that Lego in the morning. How many have stepped on a Lego in the morning? Oh, worst thing in the world to step on. Right? But God's watching us. He may allow us to step on that Lego just to gauge our reaction. Lord, I don't like it. It hurts, but I'm not going to get mad about it. Or we can scream and holler and pitch a fit. And he's just sitting there shaking his head. No, that's not what I taught you. Let's talk again. We're going to have to talk. I don't want to talk. We need to talk. I don't want to talk. Right? I remember a time when my daughter did something wrong. And I sought to talk her. And she said, I don't want to talk about it. Ran in her room, slammed the door. Do we do that to God? Do we slam the door on Him? God isn't held out by doors. He is right there all the time. We can try, but God is there. There are no locked doors when it comes to Him. There are no hiding places that we can go. There are no, I don't want to. He will not force us. But like a child who is out of His will, out of your will, and doing the things that you don't want them to do, as a child, you will grab them by the hand and take them home. And we're children. And we may come to the point where God says it's time to come home. We need to have a serious talk face to face. And I've known people to where it's happened. They have fought with God for so long that God took them home to have a face to face. I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want to be that far away from God to where He's got to grab me and take me home because I'm not paying attention to Him. Are you paying attention to God today? Every moment of every day, are you listening for His still small voice? This is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to say. This is where I want you to help. This is what I want you to do. Are we listening? Are we giving everything we have to Him? Or are we letting Him just stand there and shake His head saying, "You disappoint me. I don't want to disappoint God." One day I'm going to have to answer for all of that. One day you're going to have to answer for all of that. Everything you say and do. What are you doing with it? Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your word, for Your love for us. God, for You never leaving us or forsaking us. God, You put us on this earth to do things that You want us to do. We're here for a reason. If we weren't, when we got saved, we would have gone home. But You left us here for a reason. Not to do what we want, but what You want. Not to go our way, but Your way. Not to follow our path, but Your path. Lord, You are right there beside us. Your Spirit lives inside of us. Where do we take You? Lord, what do we say next to You? Do we say things that if we let somebody else hear them, we'd blush or be ashamed? You hear it. Do we go places that we wouldn't want anybody else to know we went, but we take You with us? Lord, are we putting what man thinks above what You think? Lord, I pray that You would remind us continually that You're right there, that You have never left us, that You are constantly listening and watching and guiding us if we allow it. Help us to allow You to guide us through our lives so that we might be pleasing to You. We pray now, Father, that You would continue to bless. Lord, if there's someone here that has a problem between You and them, this altar is open for them. They don't have to wait for music. If they have business with You, they need to take care of it. It doesn't have to be here. It could be anywhere. But they need to pay attention to what You're telling them. Lord, I need to pay attention to what You're telling me. And if what we're doing and saying isn't what You want, then we have to have a talk. Lord, we ask that You wouldn't force us to have that talk, but we would willingly come to You and say, "Lord, I'm wrong. Lord, cleanse me. Put me back on the correct path. Lord, we pray that you would get a hold of hearts tonight. That you would help us, Lord, to leave different. We thank you for your word, Lord, and what you've meant to us. Help us, Lord, to live a life that is pleasing to you. That as we go through life, you can smile and say, he's mine. Or you took a man one time and said, have you considered my servant Job? God was proud of his servant Job. Do I want to go through what Job went through? No. But it's not about me. It's about you. Help me to be willing to do whatever it takes to make you happy, to make you pleased with me. Lord, I pray that you would bless tonight. And we thank you for your word. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.